Okay, we're up to Perek Chavdeis, Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, this is mentioned yesterday, this is the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim, because we are now about to embark on reviewing almost the entire parish of Parshas Kedoshim, where Yecheskel says that the reason why you're going to suffer is because you have violated all of the mitzvahs that relate to Kedusha. As we mentioned yesterday in the Mitzudos and in the Radak, there are three types of Kedusha. This Kedusha Samaga, which we'll call basically an external Kedusha, a person comes in contact with something that is contaminated. A Nevela, a person comes in contact with even the dead. So then the type of Tumah is the Tumah that you bring upon yourself externally. And then there's the more serious type of Tumah, Tumah Hayotze Migufa, that could really be an example of Arayos. When a person is nichshal and gili arayis, so then there is, and more, it's the body itself is involved. It's not just something external that comes upon a person. The person himself is producing this form of contamination. And then the most severe type of contamination is the neshama. And that is ideological, that is avodah zarah. So there are three types of kedusha, maybe perhaps that corresponds to kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The same way we have three types of tumah, there are three types of kedusha. There is you putting yourself in a proper holy environment. Then there is when you yourself do mitzvahs, you yourself do chasadim, Torah, you bring kedusha internally. And then there is kedusha of the neshama, which is not just through actions, but actually is involvement in the mind, in coming close to Hashem through Torah and tefillah, that I guess corresponds to avodah zarah, because avodah zarah. Three different types of Kedusha corresponding to the three different types of Tumah. It's a very powerful Yesoid. You're not going to get it too often. I think it was in the Radak. If I'm not mistaken, the Radak told us this Yesoid of the three types of Kedusha. Now, Pasuk Hei says, Hakra Vois V'Harich HaKos Mimechi Yiskal Suvach. Okay, it's making a lot of feedback. What's what we have? Turn. What?
We had no problems this morning.
Okay, I turned it off now, yeah. Yeah, now is it now?
Sounds good now.
Okay, that's a turn. Sometimes I just have to reset it. I have to turn it off and turn it on. Okay, just turn it backwards, though. So the feedback, usually when it's backwards, there's less feedback.
Yeah. I think it was from there. It's like two settings.
No, it was on the good setting. I just maybe sometimes you turn it off and on, you reboot. Like a computer, right? The computer, all you do is you hire a person the whole day and the computer is just reboot.
What's the antenna run there? The antenna is broken.
The antenna is broken?
Over here.
Over there? Antennas make a difference. That makes a difference, antenna. All right, let's see. Let's continue. So we have Pasuk Hey again. Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Hey, Hakre Vois, V'Harich HaKoyis, Mimech, the nations that are near and far, Yiskal Subach, they will mock you. The word Yiskal, according to the Mitzudos, is, well, there is no translation from in La, it is La. It means mockery. They will mock you. Rashi says, what would Rashi say? Dibo Shakol, the Kalosa, Dibo Shakol, Nidbarimbach. Gossip, right? Gossip, okay.
You say in Shabbos, in the Kalos.
Okay, gossip, or here in the Mitzudah, it says it means La, it means mockery. Mockery. Now here is a very interesting idea, which we're going to going to be repeated multiple times in the next couple of psukim, Tmeas Hashem. That you have now, what are they going to mock you? What is the gossip they're going to say about you? They're going to say that your reputation has been tainted. That's a very interesting idea. Is we're in Tanakh, we're so concerned with the reputation. Obviously, it's something very important to have a good, sterling reputation. Your reputation precedes you, that is something which adds to the Kiddush Shem Shemayim.
Well, Hashem himself is concerned with his...
Laman Shemi, no, but I think when Hashem says Laman Shemi...
Because we're always appealing to him to...
For his
Chil Hashem. You don't want to look bad before the nations and so on.
Correct. In a Chanami, that's one interpretation. When it says Laman Shemi, it should not be a Chil Hashem. Or, I thought it was more of a deeper interpretation, Laman Shemi by Hashem means... For his, he does a lishma. He does it for his own reasoning. We don't like when a person does a mitzvah. You go behind closed doors. You're in the basement. No one knows. No one knows. And you learn. You daven. You say tehillim. You do chasadim. No one in the entire world knows. So that's what we call the ultimate lishma. You're doing something l'shem shamayim. No one will know about this. It's between you and Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also does things l'shma. Hashem does miracles for a person. Hashem does yeshuas for the chamos. And no one knows. There's no human being in this world that will ever know that Hashem brought about this salvation. Why then did Hashem do it? Hashem has his reasonings. Now, that's not the same as what you just mentioned to me. You mentioned to me the more simple interpretation. L'mah Hashem means reputation. It should not be a chilul Hashem. How we represent Hashem. Where is their God? Absolutely, that is the simple interpretation. That's the basic interpretation. But when it says by Hashem is Laman Shemo, there is a deeper interpretation. Now by us, I don't know if we have that deeper interpretation. I don't know if there is such a thing. When it says over here that they're going to mock and they're going to say to what is the mockery? The mockery is to me'as Hashem. This is new. I don't think we really had this idea. I don't remember this idea being emphasized, and it's going to be emphasized numerous times in this parak, is that your name, your reputation has been defiled, has been contaminated. You're a nation that are sinners. And that is a very frightening reality, because it's almost impossible to repair one's reputation. Even if the person is 100% innocent and it's discovered that everything that they were said about the person was a bilbil, we all know the reality. The reality is,
where do I go to get my reputation back?
It doesn't go. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And once a person is in trouble, it's a very horrible reality of this world, and you cannot clean the slate. And once we go down this path, we are tmei'as Hashem, we are in a lot of trouble. The next word is also equally...
And by extension, because we represent
Hashem, so we are being l'chala, we are proclaiming Hashem's name. Absolutely. That goes hand in hand. We represent Hashem, so Hashem's name is also now being contaminated. Now the next two words are also equally frightening. Rabas HaMehuma. Now there are many, many translations, many interpretations of what this means. What basically means is that they're going to say about us that society is basically dysfunctional. But if you look inside the society of the Jewish people, you will see they're dysfunctional. Basically, that's the best word. They're dysfunctional. No one has parnasa. No one has goals in life. No one has a solution to their problems. Every system is corrupt. Whether it's in kashrus, whether it's in shidduchim, whether it's in getting a job,
mishpat,
everything is corrupt. There are people, rabas hamehuma. There is a confusion. There is chaos amongst the Jewish people, which brings to a society that is 100% dysfunctional. And this is what they're going to say about us. Steer clear away from the Jewish people. You're just asking for trouble. Let's see what it's here. The Mitzudot Star Pasuk. Hey, the Mitzudot says, "Yiskal Tzubach Yil Agu Alach." They're going to mock you. Tum Timeas Hashem, Ato Yisrael Shetimesa Shimcha. You have contaminated your name Ba'asoyis Ma'asim Koyel by doing these abominations. V'ato Anu Ba'alas Rabas Hamuhuma Hanishma Mitzakas Yilalas HaNe'eshokim Bach. So he translates it different than what I said. I told you it was in the other Mefarshim. I have here now all these good mafarshim, and it's so easy because there's nekudos. So I don't know about you, but I love nekudos.
Yeah.
I'm crazy about nekudos, and they came out many years ago. Tuvia came out with the Gemara. He wanted to do the whole Shas, but he never did. He put out, I don't know, 10, 15 mesachtes with nekudos. I loved it. I gobbled it up. It was like a candy. I used to give dafyom. I used to use his Gemaras. They're just unbelievable. With dots in the Gemara and Rashi, the Tzur Sadaf. I mean, Steinsaltz always had nekudos, but Steinsaltz, it's not fun.
The first one was still the early 60s. He did on one pair of Rabbalamda. He was just lifted in MTJ. He did on Eilim Metzios.
Yeah, and he did with nekudos?
He did, because everyone in
Yeshiva I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Hand nekudos.
He was the first one.
He put it by hand with Xerox copies.
He did it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Rabbalamda. He was just sniffed. He lived in this neighborhood.
What was his name again?
Lumna. He was the sixth grade Rebbe for like 50 years in Tarshish
Shlach. Uh-huh. I had a... Yeah, okay.
You
know, I'm there, right.
Probably did.
No, I did not have it.
Last year you were there.
I left. I was there in fifth... My last year was fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
He retarded her Frankel. He's still there, Frankel?
Yeah.
I should go visit him. Wow.
Late 90s already.
He's late 90s?
Yeah.
And he's still there?
He's still there. I think he's still there. I saw his son at a Beis HaFaris not long ago, Yitzi. So
he's in his 90s now? Late 90s?
Yeah, sure. He had to be. I had him for Rebbe, and he was a Rebbe there a while already.
Wow.
Where Yaakov Yosef in Edison?
MTJ. Lower East Side.
Oh, MTJ.
On the Lower East Side. I have an Olak for third grade.
He was long ago.
He was lifted many years ago, yeah. And my topic, you know, he came afterwards. He retired.
He retired
already.
Rabbi Sklal was about a year ago.
Okay, so over here we have over here Rabbas Hamuz. Over here it says the Rabbas Hanishma Mitzakas Yidlas Haneshakim Bach Bcha. They hear the oppressed people who are oppressed, who are suffer. They cry out, and their cries spread to society. Let's see Rashi pasik hey yiskalusu bach umahi hakalosus. What is the mockery? It is timeas hashem zohi shetimos eshma. There's different gyrsas. So here in my edition it says that there's a error in the edition, in the text, there's a shibush. Let's leave the way we have it over here. The other gear source which flows easier. Vizuhi shetimos eshema. The reputation, the mockery was that the Jewish people have contaminated their name. Shahoyu nikroim am kadosh banim liyotram. It used to be in the good old days, they were called the holy people, children to their creator. The garmu atzmam lihikarois am tmei sifosayim. Now they're called a nation that has contaminated lips. Okay, so the tmei sifosayim in Yeshaya, this pasuk in Yeshaya corresponds to, this is the actual mockery that they have transformed what used to be in holy nation to an am tmei sifosayim. Radak, pasuk hey. Reads Hakravos Tmeas Hashem Sheyesh L'Hashem Tuma Bagoyim. The nations that are near to you, they you have ruined your reputation. Kimilvad Sheat Tmeah Begufech At Tmeah Bishmech. Reputation counts for quite a bit. Rabbas Amhuma Shemuhumo Hosayich Rabos. In your nation, there are many things that are not working correctly. What are they? Ra'av, there's famine, there's a sword, the devil, a plague, period. Pasuk Vav. Okay, next Pasuk. Pasuk Vav begins, Hine Nisiyah Yisrael Ish Lizro'o Hayuvach Laman Shefachtak. Okay, new theme. Again, one Pasuk at a time. And this theme is telling us that the people, the leaders are corrupt. The leaders are corrupt, as Rashi really says it all. You don't need anything more than Rashi. Pasuk Vav. Ish Lizro'o Kol De'alim Govar. That's the way society is today also. I should say bad things about society.
Right is right.
Whoever is more powerful wins. There is no system. There is no system in place for people to rise to the top through hard work and through fairness. The way you get to a position is through who you know, what you know, and how much money you have, and how you're able to flex your muscles. Anyone that has an angle and some type of wedge to break to get into the system through some form of corruption, that is what it means called the Alim Govar.
He's accusing the higher up.
Yes, he's accusing the whole Kali. So he's saying that the Nisihine, Nisiyah, Yisrael, who are the Nisiyah? These are the leaders, the prince of the people. What is their modus operandi? I hope I pronounced it correctly. What is their whole mahalech? It's Ish Lizra Ohayu. The way they operate, the people, the leaders of the Jewish people, they operate by basically who's able to outmaneuver their fellow men.
Strong arms.
And what was the goal of all of this? In order to spill blood, to murder anyone that gets in your way, will be eliminated by murder. So such a system obviously is thoroughly corrupt, and that's why there's going to be a korban. Let's see, Bav Mitzvah Stavid. Ish Lizra'o Hanesiim Hayu B'chol Kol Efer Lefi Koyach Zra'o Mubli Maaseh Hayosher. The way they conducted themselves was through might and not through right, not through fairness. Leman shefachdam im koya chazroya, with their power they would spill blood. But Rashi says called al gvar radak pasuk vav rari tinei nisya Yisrael hamalachim v'hasodim, the kings and the princes, Ish lezra'o hayu bach, their system, their operation was all on klemakol ish lefi chaskai hayu lehara v'lishbechdam. Their technique, their operation was to do evil and to spill blood. V'zehu sh'amar lezra'o, the zeroya is the arm that represents power. Lefish zero'o v'hiskad ruso, according to their power and their might. Mibnei ashro, due to their wealth. Oy kirevav, who their relatives were. It's another pasuk which says the same idea. Okay, pasuk zayin. Now here we're going to go. We'll try to go very quick. Maybe we'll just read all these pasukim together because they're all pasukim from the last week's parasha. So here we avoeim hekalu bach. Okay, a father and mother hekalu bach were light in your eyes. In other words, you had no respect. Ish imo v'aviv tirohu v'eshav sasai tishmeru. So this corresponds. This corresponds to what it says in the pasuk, or if you look in the Mari Kara, right? It says Mari Kara says Kabed es avicha v'yasimecha v'heim av v'heim hekalu. Instead of giving kavod to their parents, they made light of their parents. Lager osu v'oishek b'soichech. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to harm a lo sonu. So lager osu v'oishek, corruption, extortion. B'tzaycheich amongst you, al yosom v'almano choynuvach. Chonu means to harm. They brought harm upon the orphans and the widows. Let's go further. Pasuk ches. I'm going to read all the pasukim together. Pasuk ches kadoshai bozis. You have despised my holy things. V'yashab sosai chilolt, and you have profaned my shabbosos. Anshei rochel choynuvach. Okay, you were table bearers. Rachel Hayubach, Laman Shefachtam, Lohia Rachel Ba'amecha. If you have the Bari Kara, he just cites, he matches up the Pasuk in Kedoshim with all of these Pesukim. Anshe Rachel Hayubach, Laman Shefachtam, in order to spill blood, the Es V'el Ha'adim Achlu Vach, upon the mountains you ate the sacrifices that were offered for idols. Zima Asu B'Sechech, and adultery was committed, or Gil Arayus was committed in your midst. Pasuk Yud Ervas of Gil Abach. For all of the Arayus, the most severe is for a man to live with his father's wife, or worse, his mother. Ervas of Gil Abach. Tineas Hanida Inuvach. There's also a violation of Anida. When one's wife was Anida, they were not Nizer in Taras Hamishbacha. The reason why it says inuvach, so it says the one of the first is because it says in Chazal, when a woman is in nida, it's painful for her to have marital relations. So therefore, when a husband would force his wife to have marital relations when she was in nida, it's considered an inui, he's causing his wife to suffer. Pasuk Gedal, the ish es eishes re'eyu osa to'eva, okay, adultery. The ish es kalosoi tinei, his daughter-in-law, bezima. The ish es achoisoi bas achiv inuvach, and this is his sister, incest. All of these sins were done. Inavach obviously means that it was against the will of the sister. Pasuk Yudbeis, Shoychad Lakuvach, you took bribes. Leman Shifachtam, to bring about murder. Neshech Vesarbis Lakachat, this is ribis. Two different words. One, Rashi always says that both words are really the same exact thing, and the only reason why he repeats the word is to be marbe, to be chayiv, a double set of malchus. Or some say Neshech is ribis in money, and Tarbis is ribis in food. You have committed injustice with extortion. You have forgot me. So says Hashem. This corresponds to what it says. All of these visits, welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. It's good to see you back. You're early. Baruch Hashem. You look good. And you have forgotten me, corresponding to a person as an obligation to fear Hashem. Okay, next pasuk, we're going through Yitzukim. Let's leave Yitzukim for a moment. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let's first run through the Mepharshim very quickly. Over here in Yitzukim, pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin to pasuk Yedeis, first in the Mesudos, Lager Osu Va'oshek. You dealt unjustly with the ger because he is vulnerable. There's no one going to come to his aid. He has no relatives. He's not part of a big family. And therefore, no one's going to come to defend him. Therefore, he's an easy target. Next words in the Mitzudos. Leman Shifachtam, Kavanasai, Harachilus, Hoyalman, Yomis, Esanem, Arlov. that Lashon Hara, Chazal say you're murdering three people. Three people are going to die because of Lashon Hara. For one that speaks Lashon Hara, the sin, the one that listens, and then the subject of the Lashon Hara, he is going to suffer because he's being harmed, and that's what it says over here. V'al v'el heharim, what does this mean? Be'heharim ochlu mitikrevus, ahavadis kohavim, v'hanisbach malshama. On the mountains you would eat the sacrifices that were offered to the gods. Pasuk Yud, Ervas Av, Ritzan Lemar, Niafu im Eishes Avim, they committed adultery incest with their father's wives. Timaeus Hanida, Ritzan Lemar, Hanida Bitumasa, Ansu Lemishkav Hazunus, they forced their wives to have relations with their nidus, El Eishes Re'eu, im Eishes Re'eu, Osa Toeva Lizna Sima, Bezima, the Machsheve Zunus, Veresha. Inu Bach, Anosa Liznas, you have done these Averos. Pasuk Yud Beis Lamar Shevachtam, Ki Bimei Hashechad Hargu Benefashos Nikiyim, because of bribery, people have died. Neshech v'sarbis, l'shem neshech amur b'kesev v'sarbis b'oichel. So he learns that the two are different. One is food, one is money, one is food. Vat'i re'ayich. The word vat'i means the desire in the mitzudot siyun chimdas ha'oisher. The desire for wealth has caused you to become corrupt. Im ha'oishek she'oshakt he'eshart. With the oishak, with the extortion, because you had a desire to become wealthy and you have abused, you have gone so far to steal. Esrei ayich ha'um ha'umais lios be'ezrosech mul ha'oyev. Your friends, your the nations, they became your partners. The oisi shachachat v'loy botach tibi. So due to your desire to gain, you have committed crimes against your enemies, and you've used your nations to help you, and you've forgotten HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not part of the equation. Okay, let's see Rashi, if you Rashi and Yitzchukim, back to Pasuk Zayin, Ova'im Hekalu Bach, Kol Hato'evos Shebeparashas Kadoshim to you, Shehus Haru Aleihem Ninu Kan. Rashi makes it very clear that all of the mitzvahs enumerated in Parashas Kedoshim are now going to be mentioned here in one way or another, and as we mentioned yesterday, today, and that is why this section is the Haftorah for some on Parashas Kedoshim, or at least when Achrei Mos Kedoshim not read together, so then you have an opportunity to have a separate Haftorah for Parashas Kedoshim, and here you have it, and it fits perfectly aligned with Parashas Kedoshim. Next Pasuk Ches, Kodshei Bozis, this goes back to Parashas Kedoshim. Hashem said, when you bring a carbon, the carbon should be liritzonchem, should be for will, should be a good will carbon. You did not bring carbonos that it should be before Hashem as a nachas ruach liratzay. The el heharim ochlu bach, uvituraya polchu bichlim litta'avasa. On the mountain, you have worshipped idols that are a mistake. Zima Eitzai Shalrisha. So he translates, okay, I told you that the word Zima means Arayos. He says, no, Zima means Eitzai Shalrisha. You've counseled and packed and passed the test. Anshe Rachel Hayuvach, Laman Shevachtam, Be'alharim Lo'achluvach, Zima Osu V'Sarech. You deliberately gave your friends bad advice so that you can take advantage and you can steal their money. Next, Pasuk Yibbeis, Vatzi Re'ayich Ba'oyshek. Edim Zem in Echanami, Edim Zem, the same thing. You go and you've planned, you've testified, you've given, either given, well, here is of given advice. You've given bad advice. Next words, now what it says over here in the Mitzudos is different, that you have caused your friends to become wealthy through extortion. In other words, that you did things in order that your friends can become wealthy, but in the way you went about this was shaloi kehalacha, she'oshakt min ho'aniyim, you have exploited the poor. L'shoin acher, the second interpretation is vatzi loshon gozel, you actually stole, kemo uvotzea berach nitz Hashem, and there in that pasuk it means a person who steals and then makes a bracha. If you steal food and make a bracha, this is an abomination. This initiates, it's blasphemy to Hashem. You think it's a bracha to say bracha to Hashem when the food that you're eating was stolen? That's not a bracha, that's a curse. that's a niyat, that's blasphemy. The chol pisrono here in this pasuk, what it means is vatigzili lirei ayich, you stole lirei ayich for your friends, ba'oshek, in theft, or maybe means you stole from your friends. You stole, I'm not sure if the lama over here means from or means for. Normally the lama would mean for, ba'oshek, through means of theft. Now basically the two interpretations of Rashi are, let's go back, Rashi over here, so when it says in the pasuk, va'tzi, it means either wealthy, you've caused your friends to become wealthy through oshak.
Gain.
Mabetza. What gain? Very good. What gain is there? So here as well, you've caused your friends to have gain through oshak. The second interpretation is that you have stolen either from your friends or you've stolen from other people in order to benefit your friends. And the technique of gezel was oshak. Oshak normally means extortion, which means I'll pay you market value. But the buyer, the seller, I don't want to sell. I don't want to sell my home. Why are you forcing me to sell this asset? I want it, that's why. But I don't want to look bad. I don't want to go to jail. I have to go and cross the T's and dot the I's. So therefore, on the books, everyone should see that I paid you full market value. In the Torah's eyes, that's the same thing as gezel. If you force a person to give up, to relinquish something which he does not want to relinquish, even though he is receiving in exchange the full market value of that object, in the Torah's eyes, that's no different than gezel. So here it says, vati vatsi, you have robbed, or you have robbed others, re'ayich, in order to bring gain to your friend. Ba'oshek is describing the technique that was used. In other words, you can't get caught. Oshek is all you usually use these psukim to mean that you were very clever and how you went about doing your gineva and gezela, where you can't get caught. So when the Navi comes, or the authorities come,
it's like you made it legal. So the Rabbi Nel said it's basically a fine print. You know, you did it according to the law.
You finesse it.
But you know
that when it's illegal.
It's in the same pasuk because it's out and out theft.
So that is very common. People go and they do things which legally, ethics. It's ethics.
Right.
Okay, this is a big, today it's a big thing, business ethics. Where legally it's 100% kosher, but ethically, is this really the right thing to do? As long as there is no law in place, I can do what I want. I used to work in marketing. So marketing, there are amazing, always bothered me, and there are people that are making millions. And the truth is, because they make so much money doing this, there's really no room for anyone else to do it the right, to do it in an ethical way. What is it? They have spy tools. It's amazing what some people have. Well, basically, I'm sure you all go on Google and you see they have advertisements on a site. And these advertisements, every time you click on these advertisements, it costs a fortune of money. Of course, these people are paying per click. Sometimes they can be paying per click. They can be paying $10 a click. They can make $20 a click. So why are they so crazy to be willing to pay tomorrow to advertise, where if someone clicks on their advertisement, they're going to pay $5, $10? Obviously, they're making a lot of money. Obviously, that let's say 1 in 100 people will buy the product. 1 in 100 people will buy the product. So, and the profit to be gained is $300-$400. So it was worth it. It was worth it to pay for 100 clicks to get that one person that will ultimately buy my product. So the problem is, when you write an ad, you don't know if the ad is going to work. The text of the ad, the position, you know, there's a lot of chachma. It should be in the first position, the second position, the third position, the fourth position. Should it be on the second page in the first position? There's an enormous amount of chachma that goes into exactly where to position your ad, where it's the most cost effective, and exactly what to write, the nusach of the ad. So there are tools, amazing spy tools, where people are able, these companies are able to see exactly, what other people are doing. And the rule of the game is that if this person, this is the way it works, I used to try to do this, I wasn't successful, but if this person has the ad going there for a couple of days, or a couple of weeks, it must be profitable. It has to be. Because otherwise, he would be bleeding. So you spy and you keep on watching which ads continuously appear for long periods of time, what the nusach of the ad is in this particular industry, and you'll right away get, you'll right away have an advantage of knowing what works and what does not work. This poor fellow may have to have experimented, invested thousands of dollars to finally get an ad in the right position with the right nusach to work, to be profitable. And I just come along and I observe what he did for a week, and the fact that his ad is still there after 2 weeks obviously goes to show that this ad is profitable. And in the meantime, at least another 500 ads have come and gone, and they're not profitable. So is that ethical? Is that ethical for me to do something like that, to go take advantage, to use these super high-tech tools and to go take advantage of this? I don't think so. I don't think it's ethical. And that's just one. That's the tip of the iceberg of things that go on. You know, the internet is a new frontier. Internet marketing is a new frontier, and there are so many incredibly unethical things that people are doing, and they're making a killing. And there are no laws, there are no regulations. People are able to do and get away with it, and it becomes the new norm. It becomes the new norm. And is this the right thing to do? Well, no. Well, why not? Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else doing it, and it's not illegal because no one has come along and made a law and to say you're harming other people. People are losing money because of you. You're taking advantage and you're knocking them off. So this is what really business ethics. Internet is new frontier, and it's much more complex because of technology. It's just exponentially, the potential for unethical conduct is exponentially greater than in the brick and mortar model of the business world, because there everything already is already old school. So either it's mutter, it's usser, and there are laws, there are regulations, and there are standards, and there are ethics. But in this world where things change so quickly, it's very hard to catch up. And this is a very big issue. And over here, that's really what Oshek is. Oshek is, you can't catch me. Everything I've done is 100% legal, but you can't catch me. And this is what Yechezkel, the old way of complain. You find the word Oshek used disproportionate amount of times relative to the standard word Gezel. There's Gezel, there is Geneva, but Oshek is always a word which is head and shoulders above all else, all other words, because it represents the concept of legally, I'm okay. Ethically, that's another issue. And the Torah has higher standards, and that's why the Torah always says, V'yareisa me'elokecha ani Hashem. Unfortunately, a lot of these things, you can't survive. You literally cannot survive if you don't engage in a lot of these practices which are acknowledged as being unethical. Next, let's go to the next words of the Mitzudos. Okay, the Mitzudos is Laman Shefachta. We have Laman Shefachta, we did it already, I'm sorry. Oh, we're middle of the Rashis. We are middle of the Rashis. We're the two members of Rashis. Now we go to the next. We finish with the Rashis. Now we go to the Radak. Radak, Pasik, starting with Pasik, Zayin. Ovo in Hekalu Bach. Father and mother, you have made light of. Sibu Lechem in Adero, Sachemuros, Shehoyu Bohem, Vesheroi Lechol Odom Leharchikam, Bafilu Lo, Hesirom Alem HaTorah. He's mentioning over all of the mitzvahs which are Chamuros, and it's logical. It's intuitive that a person should distance himself from these sins, even if the Torah did not mention, and even certainly when the Torah did mention, and the Torah would not even need to mention, they're so self-understood. Now, number one is having respect for your parents. Also, v'oishek b'seichek b'seichech kol ma shahayu oisim u'misaskim imager hayu b'oishek l'fi she'en lo yikroivim b'oishim, because he has no one to defend him. V'chein hoinu hayosav yalmona l'fi she'en l'chalushim shemes ba'alo v'aviv. No one is there to defend the yosom and the almana. Goes on today as well. Okay, no one's going to stand up. The only one that really cares for a person are their parents. And when a person does not have parents, no, it's just the whole a husband. Is, even though everyone is nice and kind, fine to you behind their back, you're really vulnerable. It's not the same. Mentioned that this, I had a very interesting topic about this discussion about what we learned last week about the idea of having of women having children without fathers. This new institute in Israel where they allow women to have children without fathers, and all the gedolei Yisrael are against it because you're not allowed lechatchila. Forget about the halachic issues. That's one issue, halachic issues. But what about hashkafa? Are you allowed lechatchila to bring into the world a person that is a yosaim? a person that does not have a father in halacha is called a yosain. And throughout Tanakh it says, yosam v'almana lo sa'anu. You're not allowed to cause pain to a yosam v'almana. They're vulnerable people. Are you allowed to do this? So all of the rabbanim across the board say you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to set up a person to be a yosam. So we mentioned that Dr. Pelkowitz, he said, with all respect to all of the rabbanim, I have no question, I just want to let you know, bimodia the rabbanim, is that I've studied this issue. And in all studies throughout the entire world, I have found that children of single mothers or single parents are no worse than children that come from a two-parent home. In fact, sometimes they're even better off. As long as there's parnasa, as long as there's a healthy attitude from the single mother or a single father, the children are just as good as children that come from a home of two parents. So I mentioned this to someone, so they said to me, it's not, I said this to a woman, I was talking to a woman, she said to me, very clever woman, she said to me, it's totally not true. He says, and the studies, but there's no one, exactly what I said, there's no one that's rooting for you. A parent is a fan. Go to a baseball game, you have fans. If there are no fans, the reason they make a big stadium, the whole 50,000 fans, because if there are no fans, then there's no fun playing the game. Okay, a baseball, there's no such thing having a baseball field without having a stadium, having fans. This is the Metzius. It is human. The way Hashem made the world is that a child has two fans. He has two people rooting for him, a mother and a father. If you create a person, this is what this woman told me, if you create a person, she's like a psychologist, if you create a person that has only one parent, even though you give him a trust, that he has $1 billion and he'll never have to worry about parnasa for the rest of his life, and he'll have everything he can possibly have, it doesn't matter. He's missing that element of someone rooting for him. And that cannot be replaced by grandparents, cannot be replaced by relatives, by friends. It's something which is fundamental. And you're not going to pick it up in a study. You have a study throughout the world, a child that comes from a home of only one parent. Yeah, the kid's happy, the kid is good. That's what it seems on the surface. But there's an element that's missing of someone rooting for you. So this woman was coming to support the sheet of the Rabbanim, is that forget about the studies. So the Torah says there's something called the Yosam V'almana. It doesn't just mean money. It doesn't just mean he's going to be lying in the street wearing shmatas. It means there's someone there that is
there for you,
davening for you.
Adopted father's no good?
She says no. She says not the same. It's not the same. Maybe it's not the same. Obviously you can't generalize. Every situation, people tell you though they were raised, the person who raised the yosam, so basically, ki'ilu yolda, right? Kol hamagadol yosam, b'sech beso ki'ilu yolda. So does that mean that the care that you have for the child, some people tell you it's even more. I don't know, who's to generalize? But obviously the general rule is, a child that's your real child is unique. There's something unique, and the way the Torah, the way Hashem made the world is, a child has a mother and a father, and bringing a child into the world, l'chatchila, when it's only going to have one parent, is problematic. Indeed, is you're creating a yosam, and the yosam does not just mean money. It means a lot more. Suddenly there's an element which is supernatural, which you cannot define. You cannot define, only can be sensed, and maybe it cannot even be sensed at the time. Maybe you have to look back 50 years from now. Only then can you appreciate how that effect of knowing in the back of your mind and your conscience, your subconscious, that there was someone there that really cared about you, how that made a change in your life. Even if the father is sitting in jail, right? They lock him up. He's incarcerated for the rest of his life in the maximum security solitary confinement. The child knows that there's someone there that's rooting for him. We don't understand the effect that can have on a person. What?
There's a group, Yedidim, which actually goes out and does an outreach to the children of incarcerated prisoners. Activities.
It's a very chesed.
Okay, but is this halacha or chabas das?
What?
What you're saying, the people...
He's quoting from one woman.
I'm quoting from the Rabbanim. We mentioned Rav David Kahn. We mentioned a whole bunch of Rabbanim said this. They all said this. And Rabbi David Pelkowitz, he said, it's not coming to argue with the Rabbanim. He just wants to make the Rabbanim aware is that there are studies.
What?
Hashkafa. Halacha. They all say, I think they all start off, that it's mutter. According to halacha, you have a legal loopholes, it's mutter. And Moshe Feinstein, it's mutter. And Moshe Feinstein, it's mutter. Basically, Rav Hirschel said beferish. According to halacha, it's mutter. But don't you dare do this. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to bring a yosem. We don't support it. And it should not be done. They were very, very vocal. They're very, very strong. And David Pelikowitz, he's not coming to argue on there, but he's just coming to be modia that this is nothing new in this world. This is something which goes on the entire world by Jews. And there are studies. And the studies show that as long as there is a healthy family functioning, there's someone giving support, and there are grandparents, and there are siblings, and there is this, and there is that, it doesn't seem to be such a big deal. It doesn't seem to be such a big deal to bring a yosem into this world. Sometimes the yosem do better than people that come from two families. So I ran this by a person who's known to be a very wise woman. I happen to be there. And there's only one person. She has experience. She has a lot of experience. And to me, it's personal. You're right, it's personal. It's personal because I know, I know her. And she right away said, I'm telling you, the studies are nonsense. That she said. It says, I understand what the Rabbanim are saying. I see it firsthand. You have to understand when it says in the Torah, there's a Yosam the Almana, it doesn't just mean money. We think today that in America there's no such thing as a Yosam the Almana because the government's not going to allow people to sit on the street. They're going to go and they're going to take care of you. They're going to give you some financial aid to take care of you. It's not what the Torah means, Yosam the Almana. It means someone is rooting for you. Let's go further. Something to think about. Let us go further. Further over here in the Radak. The Radak over here says, Neshech, or up to Pasik, the Ish, Kodoshai Bozis, up to Kodoshai Pasik Ches in the Radak. Kodoshai Bozis, Kemosh Omar, Vahavesem Gozul, V'yesapisech, V'yesachayle, V'chol Zederch Bizoyon. When they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the most inferior animals. If you have an animal that's blind, so we'll give it as a carbon. Anyway, we have to pay our dues, so we'll give the Beis HaMikdash the most inferior quality animal that we have. That is a bezoyin. V'yeshab sesai chilolta, kimo shereinu shehishartam, Yirmiyah al chil Shabbos, Yirmiyah and Yecheskel were contemporaries. And they both had one common theme, and that was Chilul Shabbos. I noticed yesterday, a lot of Rabbanim are coming out very strong. The chief rabbi, Rabbi Amar, is that how you pronounce his name? Rabbi Amar, the previous chief rabbi, he said that he's not Lag BaOmer, he's going Sunday morning. Not coming at night, Chilul Shabbos. And we spoke about it last week. Right. So some Rabbanim, they're waking up, and they're saying, that's right, there's way too much Chilul Shabbos, and they're not participating until the morning. Anshei Rachil, Shahayu Holkim Rachil Meha Chalushim Lechazokim Kidei Lishbech Dam Naki. They would go and they would go around from place to place in order to speak Lashon Hara, in order to cause people to die as a consequence. V'el Harim Achlu Vach Kemoshi Pirashnu Lamala Bapasik El Harim Loyachol Zima Asu V'Sechech Ama Zima Kidei Der Chlal Lachol Harayos. So here's what I said. Rashi learns Zima means Machshavos. It means itzais, counsel, evil counsel. In order people should fail, you can take advantage. Here it means zima, means arayos. V'yakach peirat kitzasam ervas of zohar chamur shabarayos v'hu shamar b'toyra ervas avicha. This is the first in the arayos in Parsha Achrimos, last week's Parsha. The first one is ervas eshes aviv. And this is v'hi imoy, even though it doesn't say that. Shehi eshes aviv, kei uva amoy, that's the person's mother. Not necessarily so, because an Eishes Aviv can be his stepmother. With Amar Gila Bach Lashon Yach. Now here he says that why, when it comes to all of the other arayos, is written Belashon Rabin. Whereas when it comes to Eishes Aviv, it's Belashon Yochid. And the answer is because he's referring very specifically to a Ma'isa Shehoya, to Amoin and Yehoyakim, who were nichshal in having relations with their mother. He had relations with his mother in the Kodesh HaKodashim. He dragged his mother in the Kodesh HaKodashim and Lahachis Pashkodesh Baruch Hu to do this Avera. And Yehoyakim did the same thing, it says. Timeas Hanida, shame. This is a noun, it's an expression. Okay, this goes this back again. Pasuk Yud, Ervas of Gilabach, Tineas Hanida, the Tineas Hanida, this concept of contaminating a Nida, Inuvach, was a crime that was done amongst you. Ratzalaymar, Isha Shehi Tmei Midam Nidus, V'chamahu Sheim, V'hoitziu Es Hanida Min HaKadosh, Kimei Nidas Divoisa, V'hatoyar Kmo Kein B'zeh HaMishkol, Nidahi V'zohar, I don't really know what these things mean, V'zohar Bibilasa Inui, why does it say the word Inui, which means affliction, suffering, Shama Inui Bach, Yesh La Inui Im Yiv Aluha B'nidasa Kmo Sheyesh L'Mesula. That a woman who's a nida, we have a tradition, she has tsar at the time of this act, just like a woman who is a besula also has act the first time. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ish es eshes re'eyu, inu eno emer al ish echad, levad, kemo she'amar, v'ish ba mibal sholisha, v'adamim lo, elo amar ish v'ish v'ish kemo ish mizaracha, ish ki yitin mum ba'misoy, ואדם לוחם לכן איש ואס חלסו ואיש אס החויסו ואמר אינו בוח כי ברוב אם יש קו עם החויסו יש קו אימו בבייס בייס עובד והיא עודנה בסולה. So when it says inu by a sizka, since she is a besula, so it's painful for her, and therefore that's why it's called an inui. Okay, shaychad malkeich v'sarayich laku shaychad mibal harim lishpech domnaki. All of the leaders took bribes. Neshech v'sarbis lokacht. Kaf al-in, these two words mean exactly the same thing. B'mila shaynas v'amr b'sein zal v'zeo neshach v'zeo tarbis v'lo chilku l'akosav elu la'avor la b'shnei lavin. Not like the mitzudos that taught us that one refers to money and the other refers to food. V'ati v'atzi re'ayach ba'oshek. So here let's see what he says. Perushoi kitagumoi v'ahinas rochamach b'unsa. Okay, so the word v'ati v'atzi means profit. You caused your friend to become prophet through the unsa, through extortion. That was the first interpretation of Rashi, and that's what the Mitsudo said. Kulamar, hehenes re'ayich, you have brought benefit to your friend, v'nosat lohem betza kesef, and you produce for them profit, min ha'oshek, through extortion. She'oshakt b'nei amecha chalushim, you took advantage of the weak people in society and you forced them to relinquish, forced them to sell, or forced them to do things that they otherwise would not have done. V're'ayichem ashur u'mitzrayim, who are your friends? So here we talk to the nation, you brought benefit to your neighbors. Who ashur mitzrayim she'yunoisnim lochem she'ichad. Why would we do things in society in order to allow other nations to benefit? We bribed them. It was a bribe. We manipulated the system that these nations should be successful so that we hope that they will reciprocate and come to our aid in our time of need instead of relying on Hashem. Liyois lohem le'ezra. V'oisi shochachat ki loy botacht bi. You did not have faith in me. V'loy bikash mimeni eze. You did not seek from me support. Elamin ha'umos ha'mechalois osach. But rather from the nations that insult you, you put your support in them. V'chein amal letam acher. V'oisi shochachat. Omar oisi shochachat. Sheizharti oisach al kol ila ho'averus. V'olacht acher ha'tavoseich. V'loy zochart oisi shetzivisich alein. You did not remember me. You did not remember that I have commanded you. You put your confidence in the wrong people. Okay, there is one Maimon Chazal, important Maimon Chazal. The Gemara talks about back in Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, where it says, Kodoshai Bozis. So this is a halacha that the Kohanim are not allowed to take their entitlements, the Zeroya, the Lechayayim, the Hakeva. I'm sorry, not this, that's Chulin. The Chazev Shaykh. When you bring a carbon, the Kohanim, they receive the Chazev Shaykh. So the question, when do they get the Chazev Shaykh? So they're not allowed to take it until after Zurikas Hadam. I'll read you the words, the Gemara Minayin. I'm telling you the Chazal because I was actually planning to say something about this, but I changed the topic at the last minute. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I mean in one moment. Minayin ato oimer she'im zocha babosar koidem zrikas tamim b'chozev v'shoy koidem hekter hachalavim shakoyhanim noisim oven alkach. How do we know that if a koyin comes along and he takes from the carbon his entitlement, the Chozev v'Shoik, before the Kohanim, the Ba'olim, have a chance to do Zrika Sadam, before they burn on the Mizbech, the fats. In other words, the procedure is, you do Shrita, and then you take the blood and you do zrika. You take the fats and then you do the haktar, you burn on the mizbeach. After the blood and the fats have been put on the mizbeach, then the koyhanim receive their portion of the meat. The chozeh, the shaykh. Let's say the koyhan is impatient. I want it now. There's a long line to the mizbeach. By the time you get around to pouring the blood on the mizbeach and pouring the fats, it'll be a half an hour from now. I'm in a rush. Give me the meat right now. How do you know if they chap prematurely? They are considered to be bali averos. Talmud Loimar, it's two psuk, one in the Torah and one in the pasuk over here. The ato vanecha itach tisu es avoin ku naschem. You will bear, if you don't follow the procedure, you will suffer the consequences. V'chei mutzinu shaloi nischatein gzardinam shal anshe Yerushalayim ela al shenagu minag bizoyon ba'kodoshim. And likewise we find the Chorban, one of the sins listed, enumerated here in this parasha, which was the cause, the final cause of the Chorban was doing exactly this. Shenemar kodoshai bozis, you despise the korbanos by taking things out of order. Who else was guilty of such a navera? Chofni upinchas. When it came to the women who came to the Beis Hamikdash, there were women who brought their korbanos and they did not wait. They did two averos. Number one is they delayed the offering of the korbanos of the noshim who came to the Beis Hamikdash. They came to bring korbanos for giving birth, and they were lazy in bringing the korbanos, and that caused them to delay. They were unable to go home, to return home to their husbands, because they were afraid that maybe their korbanos have not yet been offered. So they waited for the confirmation number. You ever call up service, and they say, here is your confirmation number. I used to always be very meticulous, and okay, I have a confirmation number. I used to write down the confirmation number. Never would I do this all the time, because different things I work in. I used to do this all the time, and I thought yesterday to myself, never once in my life have I ever used the confirmation number. If I ever had a problem, I call back, and they could find my information in an instant with the telephone number, name. So yesterday, I had to make a phone call, and the woman said to me, "Okay, are you ready for the confirmation number?" And I said to her, "I don't want it." for the first time yesterday, they made a shechianu. I don't want the confirmation number. I don't want the confirmation. If there's a problem, I'll call you, and you'll be able to look it up with this nonsense. So we hear the women, they were unable to return home to their husbands until they got their confirmation number, because they were afraid that the koyhanim, chofni apinchas, were not going to offer their korbanos. So they had to wait. They had a mamash wait until the next day. And the other sin was that they came with their pitchforks and they would demand to give the portion to the kohanim prematurely, before the zrikas hadam, before the chelav, exactly what it says here in this fine chazal, relating to the pasuk mentioned over here in pasuk ches, kodoshai bozis. Now here's what's interesting. The reason why this caught my attention more than I otherwise would pay is that this week's parasha is all about the kohanim, correct? Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron. Now I don't think it's in this week's parasha, but there's also something called the zeroya, the lechayayim v'hakeva, the right foreleg, and the cheek, and the tongue. Every time you slaughter an animal, you're supposed to give this gift, these three gifts, to the kohanim. Now, do you know how much that cost? A tongue? A tongue costs at least $50. Go to any store. At least $50. What? What? Sheik, it's also about, I don't know. How much does that cost? I don't know.
It's very expensive because it's very labor intensive to traver it. Has veins and.
Okay, gas. Now the leg, the right leg, I would imagine also.
It's like $1 a pound, but after you traver it, they got to charge at least $10, $11.
$10, $11, wow. Okay, so these are very expensive meats. So let me ask you, do we give these things today? It says, Beferish. Do we give these matanos today in the slaughterhouse to the kohanim, the zeroya, the lechayim v'akeva? Nowhere in the world is it done. Even though it says, they have a kunz. They have a kunz. Makiri, they have this whole legal loophole of kunz where they makiri kohuna. They designate one kohen, and they basically say you are going to be the recipient of all of the zeroya, the lechayim v'akevas, of all of the meats of the entire Israel, the whole Eretz Yisrael, which could be worth tens of millions of dollars. And what we're going to do, we'll do you a favor. we're going to sell it, we're going to convert it into cash, and we'll give you a loan. We'll give you a loan, not even $10, we'll give you a loan, whatever, we'll give you a loan, and you'll sign off, you'll accept that. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you can do this. You can do this. You can, if a koyin needs a loan, needs to borrow money, so you are allowed to, to sell it. Normally, you're supposed to give it directly to the koyin, but if the koyin needs the cash, you can do him a favor. You can sell it, and then you can take the money and give the money as a loan. And the loan doesn't have to be. I don't know how this works. There's love this. The loan doesn't have to be exactly what the zroya, the value. That can be discounted a lot less. So therefore, it was decided that due to the in order that the butchers in Eretz can make money, because if you're going to say that every single tongue, every single cheek, every single leg, right leg of an animal goes to the Kohanim, you could forget about eating meat in the whole Eretz Yisrael. You can close down the whole industry because there's no way they're going to be able to make a profit. They can barely make a profit the way it's done regular when you sell everything. And now you're going to take away the profit from these three things. It's not going to happen. This already goes back 100 years. I'm talking about more than 100 years, a few hundred years. So there was a takana already made from the Gedolei Yisrael way, 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 way back, is that you can take use of this legal loophole in order you can sell it, and then you basically lend money to a kohen at a discount instead of getting that at the full value. I don't know all the
protein. They have to do this?
They do this once a year. Pesach. They do this for Shchodesh Nisan. They still do it today. The Rabbanut does this still today. They do it today. They do it one kohen, maybe a few kohanim, and they give them peanuts, and this is for the whole Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now what about in Chutz Li'aretz? What about in Chutz Li'aretz? So it says in the Mechaber, all the Rishonim Mechaber says, Noheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz li'aretz. However, the Yesh Oimrim, some say it's only ba'aretz. Why it should make a difference, I'm not clear, there's a lot of Torah on this. And v'chei nohagu. The minig is that we're not nizer to do this in Chutz Li'aretz. And there's a Zvad. I have a kuntris. It's a fascinating kuntris. There's a Zvad. He's going around. Vad Koyhana. They have a website. They have, and they've gone around to the OU and they've made presentations. Very, very fascinating. And they've gone to all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, and they're saying that this whole system of what they're doing in Eretz Yisrael, what they're doing in America, is totally outdated. Totally outdated. And when it says V'chei Nohagu, and even in American Chutz Li'aretz, it's not so simple what that means. And he has Toyrois and Toyrois. It's a Kudris. But he made presentations in front of the entire OU. They have the minutes in front of all of the cash organizations, and they're all stunned. If you read this, they're all very willing to at least do something to change the system to some degree. Right? Ganak, if the OU and Eretz Yisrael,
what do they want to do?
What they should at least give the real thing at least some of the time. They're not going to give them $10 million, obviously, but at least it should be much more significant. It should not just be in America. They do nothing. In Chutz Li'aretz, it is. It is a tongue.
The cheek.
Now that's the l'chayim. The
cave is the stomach.
And Hazaroya, the lechayim, the hakeva. So the zroya is the cheekbone. The lechayim includes the tongue. It includes the tongue. I'm sorry, the cheek with the tongue.
But this was only carbonus, or it was everything?
No, chulin. In America, not in Chutz Li'aretz, the minig is to do absolutely nothing. One of the heterim is because the animals are owned by goyim. If the animal is owned partially, or shoes of the goy, that's also a pitur, and has to be owned by Jews. So the vast majority of meat today is owned partially by goyim. Okay, it's owned by goyim. It's owned at least. It's a very, very good heta. I'm telling them. I'm coming to a point where I'm going to make a thing. How I'm saying this, bring out this whole thing over there. But it's very, very fast in America. Nothing is done at all. And it's not so simple why nothing is done. And even in Eretz Yisrael, where they do make a document for what with a few kohanim, it's also not at all simple. And this fellow, I don't even know what his name is, his name is Rivkin, he has an organization. They are working very, very hard to have Rabbanim really, really, really look into this halachic inyan a lot more and change the system at least to some degree. And it seems like he's having an effect. Now, why am I telling you all this? Is because here's the chiddush. This is parasha. I don't know if it says in this parasha, but it's about kohanim. Who has the mitzvah to give the zeroya, the lechayayim v'hakeva? It's the Farish and the Rambam. It's the shechet. The one that does the ma'isa shechita, it is his mitzvah. Just like the one that does the ma'isa shechita has the mitzvah of kisui hadam. We all know that. You go to a slaughterhouse, you want to be the kind of the mitzvah of kisui hadam. And so you have to ask rishus from the shechet to let you do the mitzvah of kisui hadam. The one that has the mitzvah of giving the zeroya, the lechayayim v'hakeva, is the shechet. And it's his mitzvah. To who he gives the zeroya, that's not his decision. That the Baal HaBayis decides. The Baal HaBayis tells him, this is the Kohen who I want you. You, the Shechet, have a mitzvah. And the mitzvah requires him to deliver. It's not like Truma. Truma, the Kohanim are mechuyev to come to the granary to pick up the Truma. There's no delivery. There's no prime when it comes to Truma. Truma, you have to come. But you in the granary. In the granary. You don't have to deliver. You don't have to. You don't have to deliver. You have to give it, but the Kohanim have to come to the granary. There's no such thing as
no Amazon
Prime when it comes to Truman Meiser. But there is Amazon Prime when it comes to the Matana of Zeroya L'Chayayim V'Yakev. It's amazing. The halachas of Zeroya are really amazing. So now here's the chiddush. The mitzvah is to do it immediately before you do anything else, before you make the bedikah, before you treber. The mitzvah is to give these matanos, the Zeroya, the lechayayim, the hakeva, the moment after you do the ma'isa shechita. So that triggered in my mind, wow, and look at this pasuk over here, when it comes to the chozev v'shoik of a karbon, the mitzvah is not to do it immediately. There are things that first have to be done. There has to be zrika, and there has to be the hekter of the chalavim. So you see where it came about, this mistake, this attitude. The reason why the kohanim was so aggressive in demanding the chazev shoik, possibly, is because they're accustomed to getting their matanos on demand. Immediately. They're not used to waiting. When it comes to the zroi v'lachayim v'akeva, you get it instantly, and that's mechuyev the mitzvah. So why should now, you're telling me when it comes to the chazev shoik, I have to wait 10 minutes? You have to first go and do the zrika, and be makdil, and take out the chalef. It's a lot of work. Taking out the chalef takes a lot of time. You got to take out the chalef, you got to put it in the pans, you have to wash it, you have to go to the mizbech, you have to walk up the long ramp and burn it. And then it could be has to be taught. Then you first get the chazev v'shoik. So it's amazing, it's food, meat coming out of the animal, and there's a difference in the zman and when it's going to be given. And this maybe is the reason why there was this misunderstanding between the two. Okay, let's just finish up over here.
Wasn't there a matana for the shaykh?
What?
In Europe, they used to give the shaykh at the
No such thing. No such giving of matana to a sheikhet. He gets paid for his service. You give a sheikhet, but there's a mitzvah of giving these three parts of the animal to the kohanim. In America, you never heard of this. Someone told me they wanted to make a ceremony. I heard this recently. They wanted to make a ceremony. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do this in America just to show the people. There's such a mitzvah of giving the kohanim, the zeroya, the lechayim yakeva, because according to the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, all three, the Shulchan Aruch always paskins the majority of those major Rishonim. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, all three paskin that the halacha of zeroya, lechayim yakeva, apply in chutz li'aretz. So it's a pella that the Shulchan Aruch paskin the bein bi'aretz, bein chutz li'aretz. The yesh misha oimer, rak in Eretz Yisrael, the chayin nohagu, and that's our custom. It's a very rare halacha. The mechaber. So it's very rare. It's very rare. It's also the only place in the entire Shulchan Aruch, supposedly, where the mechaber writes v'yesh mi she'oimer. Normally it says v'yesh oimrim b'lashon rabin. Here is the only place. So he says it's a rishon. It's a rishon. I forgot who it is. I don't remember the details. I wasn't planning on saying this today. Yeah. And v'chein nohagu. What does it mean? V'chein nohagu means he's complaining. Is it a complaint? Or v'chein nohagu means that's the way it should be. So this fellow wants to say that when the mechaber writes V'yesh mish oimer, he's coming to diminish, and unfortunately it's a chaval that people are not following the halacha. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, paskin that it applies in chutz liaretz. There's only a yesh mish oimer. There's only a one shita that says you don't need to do it, and unfortunately this is what people have come to. But it means to say it's wrong. That's what the Mechad really means to say, because he brings down stam, all according to all the rules of Shulchan Aruch. When he brings down stam, the achakach yesh oimim, he always passes the Chabad like the stam. And also, it's only yesh mish oimim. So therefore, he wants to say that what's going on in America? It's Mamash Apella. In America, no one is doing this. So the answer is, well, in America, until recent times, until modern times, it was always owned by Goyim. The slaughterhouses were always owned by Goyim. So Enoch Hanami. But today, it's not like that anymore. Today, it's not only Rabashkin, it's others. Today, it's becoming...
That's also a problem with the Ben Mekua thing.
It's becoming a new world today. It's becoming a new world today, so therefore, that's why this being Ma'orer is an issue. And it's very interesting. He made a very, very elaborate presentation at the OU in front of all of the Rabbanim, and they have their minutes, the whole discussion. And it's just very old questions and answers, and it's very interesting. And Eretz Yisrael also, the Eretz Yisrael's already, this was from going hundreds of years, what they're doing there. But also, things have changed. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. We'll do that tomorrow. Depends how it's prepared.
What?
You have to prepare it the right way.
The meat has sort of a different consistency, and I just don't like
fat.
It.
Fat?
No, not the fat. It's just the way the meat is.
Even
my
tongue
son
itself.
Likes it. I just,
there's a lot of different parts of the tongue. The tip of the tongue, end of the tongue. Some parts are more fatty. Some are all fat. Some parts are more meaty. How do you prepare it? You pickle it. You don't pickle it. You cook it a long time, a short time. It's a lot of cough in the tongue. It's very expensive. It's fortune.
Yeah, very expensive. It's chatiko ruiz kabe. That's why. I mean,
fortune of money.
They sell it as trifer meat.
How are you?
Whatever that is.
Marcus?
Yeah, okay.
He's been working a bit.
I can't read it anyway. Oh.
his sessions are every 4 weeks, so eventually he starts to feel a little better, but it's up and down. But I saw him on Shabbos.
And Bar Mitzvah coming up, right? Parsh Kiseitzeh.
You know, in around Labor Day, right?
I know, you've already been confirmed.
Okay, good, good, okay. Yeah. Hashem. Where are you making it? Where's the shul? I'm
making it. I'm not sure.
We're in the main shul or downstairs? Downstairs. You have your own venue.
You know what? I'm not 100% because I'm not involved in the details. But I know that's what they wanted to do last time, but they couldn't get it. But that's ideal since it's right, you know, it's like two doors down.
It's an Arsha show. Yes. I don't know
what happened from that, but
Okay. All right, let's learn. We are up to